Welcome to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB, keeping levy payers informed and at the heart of the conversation.
Hi, I'm Steve West from AHDB, and welcome to today's dairy podcast entitled Pulling Back the Curtain. It feels like dairy farmers move from one challenge to another, with few periods of stability in between. Currently, high input costs are challenging margins, and while milk prices have moved up to help offset them to a degree, periods of tight margins occur on a regular basis. On top of that, the industry is being faced with increased scrutiny and pressure to justify its environmental credentials, and it's about to embark on the biggest adjustment to agricultural policy in a generation. So with this change happening around them, how can dairy farmers get a heads up on what changes are in the pipeline and ultimately prepare their business for the future? So for today's podcast, we'll be talking to Martin Wallace, who farms in Cornwall. He's regional NFU representative and he's a forum member for Dairycrest Direct. And we'll also be talking to Patty Clayton, who is lead analyst at AHDB. And we'll be getting their views on how having information can help farmers deal with new and rising challenges. So Martin, welcome. Great to have you here today. Can you just tell us a little bit more about your business and your role representing farmers?
Hello, my name is Martin Wallace. Yes, I live in West Cornwall, Helston, basically. And the farm's been in the generations, well, for three generations, and it now consists of 1,200 acres of livestock and arable crops. On the dairy herd, we've got 300 cows, which is a fairly big herd for the area. And I started going on the DCD forum 4 years ago to get a better insight of the dairy system that's outside the farm gate. And that's the same with the NFU. I chose to be on the NFU West Forum, the same thing, to see you get better knowledge of the industry in the press before it comes through your front door.
Thank you, Martin. My other guest is Patty Clayton, lead dairy analyst in our market intelligence division here at AHDB. So Patty, can you tell me a little bit more about what you do?
Hi, Steve. Yes, I guess I spend most of my days monitoring the markets, particularly for dairy. I've worked with AHDB now for 12 years. And really, I suppose it all boils down to we look at a lot of information, we look at a lot of data, but essentially what we're aiming to do is to distill all of that down and give farmers a little bit more information and insight into what's happening, both in terms of global production and demand and how that might impact the price that they'll receive, but also some of the longer term trends that might be changing what consumers are looking for or what trade patterns might impact our industry overall.
Excellent. Well, we'll come back to you, Martin. I've seen the wonderful picture that you've sent to us, which will be at the front of our podcast there, of the situation of the farm. But I understand you've got 300 cows there, you're farming there, but you've also got a role within DCD as a forum member. Can you explain a little bit more about how that structure works?
The Sabuto have got 330 dairy farmers and they use DCD as a link between the dairy farmers and Sabuto for negotiations, really. So I'm a forum member, which is the level up from the dairy farmer. But then under DCD, there's directors of DCD too, which do more than price negotiation with Sabuto. So it's like I'm the third tier down of a four tier cake, really. But it's quite nice to bounce some information back up to the directors that go to Sabuto and bounce information back down to the farmers that we're all involved with.
So as we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, farmers do seem to have a pretty big job managing their cows and their business. And I'm sure that applies to you, Martin. And it probably doesn't leave a lot of time to keep up to date with everything else that's going on. But with the pace of change seeming to get faster all the time, it does always seem like a really important thing to do. We're constantly challenged and we're challenging farmers that, you know, you need to be doing this, but there isn't enough time in the day. So within your roles with DCD and NFU, you must get a really good oversight of how changes to policy and markets could have an impact on the farming businesses. Do you think this gives you a better position to be able to influence how policies are developed or be prepared for how shifts in markets or policy will affect individual businesses?
Yes, it will. But I do think with dairy farmers, they're always long established business. Like mine, we've been milking for 60 years. And to change any part of that dairy structure does take time, which means it's nice to have information fairly fast and quickly. But to implement them takes years and nearly generations to switch. So yes, it's good to have the mission early, but it takes a long time to implement it to make your business profitable or going into the right direction where you should travel.
And what sort of information or things do you make an effort to monitor or to keep your business on track?
Lots of things, really. If you look at the milk side of things, we used to get paid per litre with Dairy Crest going back years ago. And then obviously Tabuto make cheese. So the active ingredient is obviously the fat and the protein. So over the years, they change it between a 50% cheese and protein contract and a 50% volume contract. And you can see why. And now they're 100% constituency based. So then when you look at your business, rather than looking for the extra litre of milk you need for that month, you then look at the fat and the proteins that you can get. So you're not chasing the litre, you're more chasing the consistency, which gives you the profit or the margin at the end of the day, which you're all striving to achieve.
That is interesting. And I think I'll bring Patty in here, actually, because I know you and your colleagues keep a close eye on how markets and consumers are changing. But why do you think it's important for farmers to spend time getting to understand these things?
Well, I think Martin made a really good point there in that in supplying to a cheese manufacturer, Saputo, how over time, how they've paid farmers has changed away from that literage base to a constituents or a solid space. And in fact, we've seen even in general consumer trends, we have a team of consumer insight analysts who look at what the shoppers are doing and what sorts of products they're buying and how those are changing over the long term. And we've noticed a trend away from liquid milk. And this is happening in most developed countries in that people are drinking less fresh milk. And in one way, you'd think, well, that's a threat to our industry because we're perhaps losing some consumers. They're not drinking as much milk as they were previously, like 20, 30 years ago. But if you look at the market from a sort of a bigger picture point of view, you can see that while we're losing some consumption on the fresh dairy side, we're actually gaining it on the manufactured product side. So people are eating more cheese, they're demanding more cheese, more butters, more yogurts. So we're not actually losing demand, but it's shifting away from that volume, that liquid basis, and towards manufactured products, which require solids rather than volume to make those products. So we're seeing that reflected in what's happening at Saputo. And that's a bigger trend that's happening globally, really. And I think that over time, by understanding that some of these big trends that are happening, you can see as a farmer and from a farm business that there will be increasingly from processors a demand for those solids, a demand for the fat and the protein in preference to just the white water and the volume. And that's perhaps one of the big reasons why it's important to keep up to date with what's going on in the markets is so that you can know that in time you're going to have to adjust to that sort of trend and perhaps think about how that's going to affect your business, whether it's through what you're breeding, what sort of breeds you're going to have on your farm, or what sort of feeding strategy you might have. So there's lots of practical implications of that big overarching consumer shift away from liquid milk and towards manufactured products.
So Martin, we've seen how Saputo have changed the way in which they pay for milk. How does that affect you at the farm level?
For me and all the other farmers that supply Saputo, you're then looking at the fat and protein of the milk rather than the volume, which means we can tweak our diets to get a bit more fat, a bit more protein. So we're not that volume driven. So they can make more cheese from our product without carrying water to the factory. And the cheese compared to milk means it can store longer in their stores and it's got a longer shelf life, which means as a farmer, you're then supplying a fresh market with a longer shelf life product, which is beneficial to the whole supply chain from us to them to the consumer, because it can stay in their fridge for a longer period of time. And it's a way of feeding the public your fat and proteins that they need to grow over a longer period of time.
So I can see that that has a strong role for competitiveness within the supply chain and growth. And of course, after leaving the EU, our government has a much stronger focus on developing export markets with the trade deals with Australia and New Zealand. That would suggest our industry will be facing increasing competition. So have you got any perspectives on that, Patty?
Well, actually, Martin said something really quite interesting there that really hits the nail on the head. And he's saying Saputo's farmers supplying them what they need to create their product, which is predominantly cheese, without added weight of water and without that sort of, if you will, the milk is better matched for the product. So there's less waste along the supply chain. It gives them an edge, if you will, with competitiveness. They're able to utilize their production facilities better, and they're able to compete, therefore, better globally because they're more efficient. And even if, for example, they weren't necessarily exporting, we know Saputo do export. Saputo is a global company, and they export, they have production facilities around the world, and they're involved in international trade. But even if they weren't, the fact that our government is opening up our markets, and in a way, our industry is going to be more exposed to imports, means that our manufacturers have to be able to compete with those. And the closer the links between what the processor is producing and what the farmer is giving them in order to produce that product, the less waste, the more efficient, and the more competitive that whole supply chain can be. So it allows, for example, in this instance, it allows Saputo to not just be competitive and profitable in their supply chain, but allow their farmers to also get a good return on that market and have that stability in their business as well. So I think, you know, while Martin again said earlier on that you're not going to necessarily react to every little change in the market, if you know the big long trends, you can be prepared and you can make sure you're as aligned as possible for your market as you can be to enhance that competitiveness. So not only, I guess, will we need to be competitive with import competition, we'll need to be competitive in order to grow our industry to export. And that, in a way, it's more than just being competitive from a cost point of view, but we also, with consumers' increasing awareness of environmental impact of agriculture and their concern about that, to grow our markets, we have to be able to validate our green credentials. And I think that's an important event that's happening on the horizon that needs to be taken into account.
And a lot of the AHDB reports will show how there's increasing awareness from consumers around the environment and animal welfare, and that sort of has an impact potentially on policy. But how does that impact you on farm, Martin?
Quite a lot. Policy changes always do, but we've for years have gone down the routes of welcoming people onto the farm and then show our customers, whether they're children at school, whether they're parents, whether they're grandparents, onto the farm to see what we do as a farm, to see where the animals are looked after, to see how they thrive and grow and see all the green fields and pastures that we've got. And I think policy is always driven by the public, but the more we can do to educate the public on what we do in all the farms in the country, the better it is for everyone involved.
I see. So Martin, it's not just about carbon then?
Carbon's a piece of it, and that's a new piece of it, and it's very topical at the minute. But I look at the bigger picture and what farmers have done for years, and I think there's a lot that doesn't get said of how we've looked after the environment custodians, and we've been milking on this site here for the last 60 years. And if you brought a soil scientist here from 60 years ago, he would find very similar assets that I've got now we had then. It's a way of showing people what we've got. It's a way of showing people the animals that have been through the farm. And it's a way of showing people how much grass grows, how the hedge grow, how the wildflowers grow in it. And that's all part of life, really, to educate us and educate them. And that's why we did the open farm someday. But also we've taken some sheep to schools before. Little thing like that, it gets some the public, who are the consumer, to know what we do. We've taken some calves to school before, so they've fed the calves in the morning. Little things like that opens their eyes, and it's nice to educate people whenever we can.
Excellent. I think it's really important, isn't it? And I think that it's something that people can do locally. But with consumers being everywhere, Patty, what are AHDB doing to understand consumers better?
Within the Market Intelligence Division, we've got another group of people who, that's their specialist. They not just monitor what consumers are buying and, you know, what they're switching in and out of, which identify trends like the move away from liquid and the move towards cheddar. But they also do a lot of research on consumer perceptions and perceptions of the environment when it comes to food choices, the perceptions of animal welfare when it comes to food choices. So there's a lot of research that's being done to help us understand how big a deal is it around the environment when consumers are making their food choices, and how big a deal is it if they find out, you know, that dairy farming is actually very good at looking after the environment. How does that affect their perceptions of those products? And that makes a significant difference in what their behavior is going forward. So if they have a positive perception of dairy farmers and they hear a negative news story, they're less likely to take note of that news story and they're probably less likely to act on it. So again, it's an important part of the work that we do at AHDB to have that understanding of how people behave and react to certain elements that they deem to be important. And I know that one really significant outcome that we've had recently from some research is that consumers, when they are asked who they trust the most along the food supply chain, farmers are the most trustworthy out of that. You know, they trust farmers almost implicitly. And it's things like Open Farm Sunday that Martin's involved in that help build that trust and help them understand that farmers are doing as much as they can to safeguard the environment, to take care of their animals. And I think that generally knowing that helps know how much we need to react to some of the press stories that are out there, because they do tend to get inflated sometimes and make us worry perhaps more than we need to. But on another warning, we don't want to ignore them at our peril, but it's good to have them put into context. So I think that's an important role that AHDB do for the industry overall.
So effectively, AHDB is, what you're saying is, it's providing a real undistorted picture of what's happening rather than a spun version.
Yes, exactly. That's our aim.
So in order to pull this together then, Martin, what would be your sort of key first step for farmers wishing to further their knowledge on markets and to start dipping their toe into the water of this?
I've enjoyed my DCD and the NFU group I've been in because you can see the markets as they come towards you. But it's like I said before, it takes a long time to influence those in your milk production, or less long term for your cereals if you've got them, or beef. But I think you can't miss out on knowledge and information of markets. If you do, it's at your peril, really. Every business has got to be profitable. You've got to know what your consumer wants. You've got to know what the market you're heading for. And if you were supplying a liquid supplier that wanted to make bottles of milk, you could use the volume and forget your fat and protein. And if you wanted to make cheese, then you sold to your diet to increase the fat and protein and forget your volume. And there's loads of little things that make a difference to the bottom line at the end of the day. And there's not great margins in many things we do, but the greater you can make them by a few little things, then the better for everyone involved.
So effectively stepping back and looking at longer term trends perhaps gives you a more straightforward view of what's coming up in the future.
Yes, you can't use knee-jerk reactions in dairy farming to a new policy, because if you follow all those peaks, the time you get to them, they've gone to troughs, and you'll end up following troughs for your supply chain for the next 10 years. So I always think, look at the bigger picture and then slowly adapt your business to match them over time.
And Patty, what are your thoughts on how farmers can become more informed on some of these figures?
Well, obviously, I'm going to push out that we do have our weekly newsletter, which, you know, every dairy farmer should at least sign up to, just to keep an eye on the overall trends. I think if one message has come through loud and clear, it's that knowledge is key. You may not need to react to every small change that's going on in the market, but those small changes lead up to a big picture. And by keeping informed of what's going on, both in terms of the markets, consumers, policy, trade, all of these aspects that ultimately affect how profitable and successful your business are, as Martin said, it gives you that sort of knee up, that long-term vision. You know what's coming up and you can start to prepare for it, because it does take a long time on a dairy farm to change. So I'm going to recommend signing up to our Dairy Market Weekly, which comes out every Thursday. We also in the MI division produce a consumer insight newsletter, which gives information on consumers. May not change what you do day to day, but hopefully can start to give you a little bit of a longer term view of what's going on in the markets.
Well, thank you very much. And of course, that's Dairy Markets Weekly, which is available through the AHDB website. And of course, any listeners can get in touch with the Knowledge Exchange team if you have any further questions about markets, consumers or trade policy, or any of the other services that AHDB provide. It remains for me to thank today's guests, Martin Wallace and Patty Clayton, and thank you all for listening. I do hope you've got something from the perspectives that we've shared today.
Spring 2022 is your opportunity to vote, to have your say about the future direction of AHDB. For more information, you can email shapethefuture@ahdb.org. ahdb.co.uk or visit the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk.